This is Werewolf the Podcast. High Level Games, the industry's first choice in taking your games to the next level. We are a podcast, blog, and new media network at highlevelgames.ca. We have blog posts about all of your favorite games going up 5 days a week, and a podcasting network with actual plays and shows that discuss role-playing games, with more rolling out all the time. We are on iTunes, Twitch, and YouTube. Find out more information at highlevelgames.ca, a site that certainly isn't controlled by a shadowy board of directors of otherworldly origin. That's highlevelgames.ca.
Please, help. They're coming. Hog butcher for the world, tool maker, stacker of wheat, player with railroads and the nation's freight handler, stormy, husking, brawling, city of the big shoulders. They tell me you are wicked, and I believe them, for I have seen your painted women under the gas lamps, luring the farm boys. And they tell me you are crooked, and I answer, yes, it is true, I have seen the gunmen kill and go free to kill again. And they tell me you are brutal, and my reply is, on the faces of women and children, I have seen the marks of wanton hunger. And having answered, so I turn once more to those who sneer at this, my city, and I give them back the sneer, and say to them, come and show me another city, with lifted head singing, so proud to be alive, and coarse and strong and cunning, flinging magnetic curses amid the toil of piling job on job. Here is a tall bowed slugger, set vivid against the little soft cities, fierce as a dog, with tongue lapping for action, cunning as a savage pitted against the wilderness, bareheaded, shoveling, wrecking, planning, building, breaking, rebuilding, under the smoke, dust all over his mouth, laughing with white teeth, under the terrible burden of destiny, laughing as a young man laughs, laughing even as an ignorant fighter laughs who has never lost a battle, bragging and laughing that under his wrist is the pulse and under his ribs the heart of the people, laughing, laughing the stormy, husky, brawling laughter of youth, half naked, sweating, proud to be hog butcher, tool maker, stacker of wheat, player with railroads, and freight handler to the nation. Chicago by Carl Sandburg. Welcome to Werewolf the Podcast.
Today we're going to be reviewing Under a Blood Red Moon, which is a chronicle book for Werewolf the Apocalypse 1st Edition and Vampire the Masquerade 2nd Edition. This was written by Steve Brown, and it had a few other individuals that were involved in the creation, including Bill Bridges, Andrew Greenberg. Editing was done by Robert Hatch, art direction by Richard Thomas, and the interior art is by Jeff Rebner, Dan Smith, Joshua Gabriel, Tim Brook, and Ron Spencer, the cover art being done by Tony Harris. This was published in 1993. Now, one of the things that I found interesting about this book was that there's this idea today in 2018 by some fans that White Wolf hadn't intended the classic World of Darkness to be crossed over on a regular basis, except almost every one of the Werewolf the Apocalypse books written up to this point, and this is the sixth book that we've reviewed, every single book has referenced in some form or another crossover with Vampire the Masquerade, with what would eventually become Changeling, what would become Mage the Ascension, and in this book there's actually references to Mummy, at which Mummy had been released as a vampire book, and that's going to go through several iterations and editions before we get to what we have for Mummy characters. Mummy, the concept of mummies, was certainly something that White Wolf had wanted to do from early on. Also, the idea of crossover and crossover chronicles and crossover games was something really, really central from the beginning with White Wolf. So this story is set in Chicago, And up until this point, Chicago had been referenced in several vampire books. Chicago and Gary, Indiana are the central locations for vampire up to this point. And this is the first book that references Chicago for werewolves, but it's effectively designed as a chronicle for werewolves and vampires to interact with each other, to fight one another in Chicago. This particular story is designed to be separated between a full Garou group, a full vampire group, either Camarilla or vampires, and you would be playing one or the other of those groups. It wouldn't really work if you were trying to mix both werewolf and vampire characters together, though I think it would be really fascinating to run this with three separate groups, one Zabon, one Camarilla, one werewolf, and for most of that have them not interact with one another, and then have small scenes where they actually would come together for the night, run small sessions, interact with each other, maybe destroy each other, and see what that looked like. That would be kind of a hard concept to make happen, but it would be something pretty interesting. So this story sets up a reason for werewolves coming to Chicago, and that reason is that that a spirit has been connected to the Funum. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It appears to be a building of some sort of historical importance to Chicago. And the Celestine, Jupiter, has actually been connected to this Funum. And the Black Spiral Dancers, with some connection to, or the Phantom, I should say, not the Funum, the Phantom, F-A-N-U-M. Again, no idea what that is, but this building is a cairn, and it has been taken over by the Black Spiral Dancers with some support from the Sabbat. So in this book, and in some of the early first edition materials, there's a lot of crossover concepts between the Sabbat and the Black Spiral Dancers. Supposedly they would be willing to work with each other and interact with each other. I don't really agree with that, and as Revised gets underway, they remove those sorts of connections. They don't make a whole lot of sense in the long run, but it's something that's built into this particular story that the Worm and the Sabbat have a connection with one another, and your pack is given the challenge of trying to figure out, one, what's going on in this city, how to protect the Phantom, and how to, in the end, destroy the kindred prince of the city, who is Loden, who is actually called a blood hunt against all werewolf characters. Now, most players that I've spoken to over the years have said things like, werewolves, especially as a pack, werewolves are way stronger than individual vampires. And I've always kind of assumed, felt the same thing, but this story is set up with the idea that vampires actually seem to have more strength than werewolves, and they have the ability to outnumber them and destroy werewolves fairly whenever they would choose to do so, which I think is interesting. I'm not sure I agree with that, but that's the general conceit of the story, is that the werewolves are seriously scared and seriously concerned that they are going to be destroyed by the vampires in Chicago. And again, the players have this Phantom and that they have to protect. They have to protect the Jupiter Celestine. They have to figure out a way to return that Celestine back to the way that it's supposed to be, and there's some politics between Menelay and Helena and other powerful vampires in this city, as well as the politics between the Garou, between the Black Spiral Dancers, between the Sabbat, between the Camarilla, and that's just the setup for the story. That's the prologue. That's all of the background. This book is set up so it provides lots of different story hooks, lots of different options to tell this story, provides you a timeline of events that might happen outside of the direct influence of your characters, which I think is fascinating. It's fascinating to play a small group within a larger story, and that's what this chronicle provides to you. The option of having your pack be involved in small elements of the story with a larger, overarching, really epic tale happening around them, which they can insert themselves into in a way that works best for the players, for the storyteller, and everybody involved. And there are stages to this story. You know, this book's about 100 pages total, and there are several chapters. that provide different layers of the story for you to go through. You're also provided with a little bit of the history of Chicago, if you don't know any of it from the vampire book. And I'll be honest, I don't. I don't know any of this, any of the background for Chicago for vampire, because up until I ran Vampire 5th Edition's Alpha playtest, I hadn't really had any interest in Chicago and that particular story that was being told. So there are 5 chapters in this: Assembly, Aggression, Assault, Assist, and Avail, Aftermath, and then there are 3 appendixes. The 3 appendices are Allies and Adversaries, The Story for Other Characters, and The Abomination. That last one I want you to tie onto, because I think this is the first book that provides rules on the concept of abominations, of the vampire that used to be a werewolf that has been embraced and been so unlucky that they actually became a vampire. This is the first time we're presented with that character option. It's presented as being very rare, and this character, this abomination that is provided in this book, is effectively the stereotypical abomination. He is called Pariah. He's a former Silverfang that is now was embraced by a Ventru and can only feed on animals as a vampire because that's his feeding restriction, but he is torn because he cannot be a part of Garu society anymore, but he wants so much to be a part of the society that he loves, be with the people that he loves, and yet he's this tragic character that the characters have to interact with and decide, we as Garu, do we accept this abomination? He wants to help us, he wants to support the war, but can we trust him? Because he is ultimately a vampire and he's no longer connected to Gaia. And you're presented with him in chapter 2 in Aggression for the first time. He's kind of a shadowy figure that is standing in an alleyway or standing on top of a rooftop, and the characters feel that out and are like, who is this guy? Why is he important? While this giant war is happening around them, and they have to make decisions, they have to decide where they're attacking, who they're attacking, who they're investigating, who they're willing to work with. As you go through this story, there are some kinfolk that you interact with, and at one point, the Sabbat actually ends up embracing several of the kinfolk that your characters have made relationships with, that have built at this point, you know, deep into the story, hopefully built relationships with and connections to and are starting to care for. And now they're vampires. Now they're embraced. What do the characters do? Do they allow them to live? Do they kill them? That's a terrifying decision that they have to make. And there's no clear answer to that decision. But the characters are open to make the decision that makes sense for them, that makes sense for their characters. At the same time, you have the option to use all of the different NPCs from the Chicago books. You have Al Capone in this, you have Jackson, there are all of the characters that are in one way or another presented in the different Chicago books are here. They're in the city, they're fighting with one another. Inyanga, who is a gangrel, eventually in V20 Package Jihad Diary, we find out that she might actually be a Laban, that she might be a African vampire. So maybe she's not a gangrel, but she seems to have some sort of truce with the werewolves of Chicago. What does that mean? How do the characters work through that? I think, if it's not clear, I find this story in this particular book to be really engaging. And honestly, when I first picked up the book, there wasn't any real interest from me to run this story. I was like, oh, this is going to be a vampire-werewolf crossover story. It's not going to be run very well. It's going to be overpowered. It's not going to have any sort of interesting decisions to be made. And I totally have changed my opinion after reading this book. The concept of the Celestine of Jupiter being on Earth and being connected to this building and being disconnected from the planet that Jupiter is connected to, what does that mean? What does that mean for the spirit? I think that's a really deep story. And that's just one small element of the larger story of this vampire-werewolf war for Chicago. And the idea of which side, who do we kill? Do we kill them all? We can't kill them all because there's too many powers. There's too many pull and push moments throughout the story. And at some point, the werewolves have to decide, We've taken losses. They've taken losses. Will we accept a truce that is offered to us? And they ultimately have to make that decision. Do we accept this truce, even though we would like to destroy all of these worm creatures, but they don't have that opportunity? So that, in really loose terms, is the storyline. I know I've just given a really general overview of it, but it's something that I would recommend if you're a storyteller to dive into this book, to consider getting it and decide, is this a story that I would be willing to tell? And I've got, to be honest, I was surprised. I didn't expect this story to be as engaging as it is, but I'm really impressed with it. So one of the things you've got here, Appendix has several different stat sheets for werewolves, vampires, and you get options to be able to play any of them with the different rule sets that you have. So if you only have vampire rules, you have ways to play them with the vampire rules. If you only have the werewolf rules, you have ways to play those creatures with the werewolf rules. I think that's super helpful. That allows you as a storyteller to just know, go with what you know and play the story that you've got in front of you. You've got information on all of the major NPCs, from the werewolves to the vampires to the Spot to the Camarilla to the Black Spiral Dancers. You've got everything here. And there's even some set of information for a mummy. There's a whole mummy plot that's kind of thrown into this book that doesn't really seem to be a part of it. It looks like an artifact maybe added into the editing process when they realized, hey, we have this book coming out, we should really add something, so people might want to go out and grab that book. Not something that I would recommend using. The entire plot for the mummy that's in here I would ignore because it doesn't add anything to the story whatsoever. The abomination character in here, though, does add something to the story. He is, as I mentioned before, known as Harold Goodston, or Pariah. And Pariah is a fascinating character. And if I were to run a game that wasn't set in Chicago, I might pull Pariah out and utilize him in another place, because I think he's an interesting character, just full stop. Appendix 2 allows you some options to play this story with hunters, or, as I mentioned before, with mummies, if you wanted to play mummy characters. So it's interesting that that's just added as an addition if you wanted to run this with human characters that were hunters. And then Appendix 3 is an entire section on how abominations are created. And abominations are created if a Geru botches their gnosis roll after being embraced. Otherwise, they die. So the likelihood of becoming an abomination is incredibly low. The other thing that I think is interesting here, and I actually like this, and I might pull this out and use this for something else. I might actually take this element and do something in the storyteller's vault for it, is the idea that abominations don't use a humanity system. Instead, they have something called ego. And ego acts effectively as a different path of enlightenment for werewolves. It's like a werewolf hierarchy of sins. It's like a werewolf path. And it focuses on what does being like a werewolf, if you can stick to being a werewolf, how does that help you retain yourself and not lose yourself to the worm in the long run, which is an interesting middle of the ground area for werewolf and vampire to play. So I think that's a pretty fascinating idea, and I think that could be taken out of this and put into practice in later editions in a way that would still be pretty engaging. So that is the review for Under a Blood Red Moon, and I would say this is a great book if you're looking for another cool chronicle idea. I was surprised that I enjoyed it, but I think there's a lot of cool stuff, and I would definitely recommend it. So this has been Werewolf the Podcast, and I'm Josh Heath. Thanks very much.
Hello, folks. Have you ever wished you could have an easy way to find gameplay videos and podcasts, or just media in general that deals with your favorite White Wolf role-playing games? Or have you ever wished you could find a forum to share gameplay that you have recorded, one which wouldn't be drowned out by random posts and discussion, so that your media could get the attention you want? Well, we have the answer for you in a Facebook group we run called White Wolf RPGs Gameplay and Media. the group is specifically ran with the sole intent of it being a one-stop shop for people to view or share media involving the games we all love. We take thorough steps to ensure the page does not become cluttered and is easy to traverse. We are currently over 1,000 members strong, and we are continuing to rapidly grow with new media being shared every day. Stop on by. We hope to see you there.